The Women's March and the Me Too movement have helped raise the volume of women's voices across the country. One place where women still struggle to be heard is in America's symphony halls. NPR's Tom Heisinger looked at which composers the top U.S. orchestras are performing in the upcoming season and found some surprises.
The Chicago Symphony Orchestra will be presenting some 54 composers throughout its 2018-2019 season. Want to guess how many of those composers are women? Right. Zero. Same number goes for the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Obviously, zero is a very damning number.
That's Jeremy Rothman, Vice President of Artistic Planning for the Philadelphia Orchestra.
In this one year, we did have that particular oversight, which we are rectifying.
To be fair, Philadelphia has programmed women composers in the past.
I'm Jennifer Higdon, and I'm a composer.
Higdon is lucky. Her music gets played a lot.
This year alone, I have three concertos premiering.
She's a 55-year-old Pulitzer and Grammy winner, a Philadelphia resident whose music is accessible to both orchestras and audiences. Higdon's most popular work is Blue Cathedral, and it will be the only work by a woman played this coming season by another one of America's top symphonies, the Cleveland Orchestra. Higdon's success has given her some perspective. While orchestras play her music, she says they seem to be deaf to hundreds of other women composers.
The way of thinking in orchestras is so built on an old tradition that they just assume that there are certain pieces they need to program or certain composers that have been done time and time again, and they just don't think about programming women.
And when they do program women, it tends to be the ones who are already successful, like Higdon or Julia Wolf, who won a Pulitzer in 2015 for her oratorio Anthracite Fields. The New York Philharmonic is presenting a new work by Julia Wolf next season, but out of 49 composers, there are only two women on the upcoming schedule.
Heck, you know what? Half of humanity is made up of women. So why is it that orchestras, we only see 1-2% of the programming of women?
Jesse Rosen has one answer to Higdon's question. He's the president and CEO of the League of American Orchestras.
If you go back in time, this was not a viable career for a woman to become a composer. And so you have a canon that, by definition, does not have a lot of women composers in it.
So you tend to get a lot of Mozart and Beethoven. Rosen says another problem is that orchestras have to please a lot of constituents. Audiences, board members, marketing departments, donors. And then there's the will of the conductors and artistic directors, most of them men. They're the ones who choose the music. The bottom line for orchestras, Rosen says, is money.
They rely to a significant degree on their box office and their subscribers, and you've got very thin financial margins that you're trying to manage. So I think it's part of life in the arts.
The real question for composers, though, is how to break into the club, that exclusive group whose music gets performed. The question is the same for young composers, composers of color, and women, says Philadelphia's Jeremy Rothman.
We have to be giving composers the right tools to compose successful works, being able to workshop their pieces. Simply commissioning pieces and performing them once is not going to be the solution.
And for orchestras to check off the woman composer box once or twice a year isn't going to cut it either, says the Orchestra League's Jesse Rosen.
If you don't have a consciousness that says, you know, we value diversity in all its manifestations, and the default is going to be you're going to end up with a lot more white men.
Among the top American orchestras programming more than one or two women next season are the Boston Symphony Orchestra and the Los Angeles Philharmonic. But they still come up pretty short. Each is presenting just 6 women out of a total of 45. One composer on both their rosters is Kaya Saariaho, who gets played more in Europe than she does here. Some might caution against crunching numbers for a single season, that it doesn't provide a large enough picture. But Jennifer Higdon knows the numbers have been lousy for years. It's up to us ticket holders, she says, to ask for something better.
The fact is, I think the scene has to change. I say give it a try. There's a lot of fantastic music going on out there. Why miss out on it?
Tom Heisinger, NPR News.